So speaking of breakups, you know, you've got relationship movies, right?
Always.
They're very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And there are bad relationship movies. Like, movies aren't bad. They're just the relationships that are bad. You got Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, right? You know, Married to the Mob, Heartburn. Woody Allen's Annie Hall was kind of about relationships that didn't work out. The new movie Blue Valentine is a new twist in the bad relationship genre. It's subtle. It's kind of a Ingmar Bergman meets Gus Van Sant.
Maybe we have to get out of this house. Let's go get drunk and make love. Now, do you want
Tina,
the Cupid's Cove? Or do you want the future? Make a decision, maybe, please.
That's the stars of Blue Valentine, Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams, in limited release this week. It's about a couple struggling with their marriage after 6 years together. Ryan Gosling stopped by the studio a few weeks back to talk about the challenge of realistically portraying a marriage, very slowly coming apart.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, this is a relationship that is very easy to connect with, but I would imagine hard to execute on screen.
Hmm.
How do you do that?
You know, it took so long to make it that it added an authenticity somehow, you know, or a trust between all of us because, you know, the filmmaker had been trying to make it for 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, and very material very close to your director.
Yeah, and Michelle was on for 6 years, and I had been involved for about four. So when it finally came time to do it, you know, there was it's like because we'd all been involved for so long, we knew who each other were without even really knowing each other.
So it already had the makings of a bad relationship that had overstayed its welcome on some level. You know, you kind of were completing each other's sentences, and you knew all of your annoyances.
Not really, because Michelle and I, even through that whole time period, really didn't know each other at all. I think we had dinner once, and you know, we'd build these characters up, and then the film would fall apart, and then we'd have to tear our characters down and kind of use them for parts, and then go do another film, and then we'd hear it was going, and then we'd build them up again, and then it wouldn't go, and we have to tear them down.
Location changed in this film?
Yeah, so many things changed over the course of all that time, but in the very end, we were about to make the film. It was always supposed to be set by the beach in Los Angeles, and or in a place called Morro Bay, just northern California, and Michelle said, look, I can't take my daughter out of school, and I can't do this to her. You know, things have been crazy for her, and you're going to have to find somebody else. And Derek thought about it, and he called her in the morning. He said, you know, the reason why you won't do this film is because, you know, you're such a good mom. He's like, it's the only reason why, it's the reason why it has to be you. So we talked about it, and he said, you know, if we could find a way to shoot this movie an hour away from your house, would you do it? She said, yeah.
You know, on quite another subject, Kirsten Dunst referred to you in a New York Magazine piece as dark and weird, in addition to being adorable. What's that like?
What?
Being referred to as dark and weird, or is dark and weird a kind of a special code that you and Kirsten Dunst have? Or like, we're the dark and weird ones, right?
You know? Oh, no. I mean, look, that film was dark and weird. You know, that doesn't surprise me that she feels that way.
You know, part of that was as a way of describing you as a character, a leading man character in Hollywood that sort of embraces a level of complexity and ambiguity that, you know, sort of belies your standard, not only leading man, but also, you know, career trajectory. You're not like a studio guy. You're not like doing two for you and then, you know, going off to the studio to do a series of like action figure movies.
Well, I've never really seen that work. It doesn't seem you always hear that, you know, do two, you know, one for you and one for them. Really, what I mean, you know, what it's turned into is two for them, one for you,
or five for them and none for you,
right?
Or five for them and you get the NC-17.
That ends up being what happens. You know, you point. You know, there's a momentum to the choices that you make. I mean, you might start off saying, "Oh, I'm going to do these two films because I'll get to do my own," but you go in whatever direction you point yourself. I think you have to be careful. You know?
So I imagine you're getting dragged around the world for various reasons. But if you do get home this holiday season, what movies are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I want to see that film Beautiful, Javier.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh.
I have five kids, and I do a morning radio show. Although I am interested in seeing Tron. Legacy.
Oh, yeah. Tron looks cool.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Daft Punk did the soundtrack.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the original one, you know, when I was, Before you were born, probably. Something like that. Something pathetic like that.
You don't have to pigeonhole me in that way.
What, as being 30? Is that a pigeonhole?
Yeah, I don't want to be painted with that brush.
That's a category, man. It's called young.
I can't be labeled.
It's called young. You can't be labeled young. Yeah, I don't want to be labeled dad, okay? Just don't call me dad. Well, Ryan Gosling, thanks for being with us. And
hey,
good luck with this movie. And, you know, I think it's a terrific relationship movie, regardless of the rating.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan Gosling's new film, Blue Valentine, came out in limited release this week. That reference to the rating, you can head over to thetakeaway.org, where we'll have an extended conversation talking about the controversy earlier this month when the film was first rated NC-17. But after some protests from the studio cast and crew, it's now an R. More with Ryan at thetakeaway.org. We've been looking back at the news of 2010. We have a quiz for all you takeaway news junkies. So it's a sort of a breakup story. We like breakup stories, not celebrities, news breakups. Biggest public breakups happened with broadcast personalities and their networks. What TV personality was fired over comments he made on the radio? What radio personality was fired after something he said on TV? Two names here. Two employers is what we're looking for. Guesses? Guesses? No one can?
Can I guess correct? Because I do know one of them.
Yeah, well, you know both.
The thing is, I remember the radio guy. I remember, can I say it?
Sure.
NPR's Juan Williams got himself in trouble.
But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
I get fired by NPR. Now he's working for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the other one was Rick Sanchez, who imploded in a radio interview when he began discussing some of the criticism his show receives from the Comedy Central Daily Show. Rick did a kind of an impression of Mel Gibson on the radio.
Unwise.
And lost his
Unwise.
Job. Happy New Year to all our listeners. I'm John Hockenberry. Takeaway producer Noel King is with me. This is The Takeaway.